All right. Happy holidays. Welcome. It is Nazzy from the Pulse of New Hampshire. Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. It is my honor to introduce your host. This man keeps Christmas in his heart all year long. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental. It is Mr. Tom Raffio. Happy holidays, Tom.
Happy holidays, Nazzy. You failed once again to mention that I have the longest running show with the same host with curly hair, 13 years, and Jack Heath got me into radio and my guest, and as well as introduced to me to my soon to be introduced guest. So anyway, just connecting the dots for you, Nazzy.
Thank you. You know what? But by the time we get into the new year, Tom, I will have that down. I'm going to write that down as part of my introduction, my
the
bio.
The shtick.
You ready? Now, before we get going, before we invite in our guest, I think it is only proper that we talk about your latest book that is available right now on Amazon.com. If you could, what's the title of this one, Tom?
Sure. It's called Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive. And actually, today's guest is relevant to that because we actually had prepared over the last several years for a pandemic. I'm not saying I predicted COVID-19, but right. We actually had a pandemic committee. We had a disaster recovery committee. Our home office is actually by a railroad tracks, which occasionally brings very combustible materials. So we were always planning for some disaster. So we had built our reserves up. We'd gotten a new phone system so we could take calls from home. And then boom, COVID hit. So, and then we, because of that planning, we were able to give back about $27 million to the community, premium relief, money to dentists to keep the industry alive. And we still ourselves had a great year. But all that has to do with planning. So I thought, someone said to me, you should really write a journal about that. So that's what we did. It would have been out a couple months ago, but as you know, Nazzy, first the Delta variant, bad name, given our company's name.
Yeah, right.
Then the Omicron variant, and then the OSHA rules came out, and then Sixth Circuit and all that stuff. So I had to keep rewriting the end to make the book relevant, but it is on Amazon for sure. But if you want to buy local, and that's what you see is the book cover.
Yep.
It's easy to purchase on Amazon, but if you want to shop local, you can either go to Gibson's in Concord or the Bookery in Manchester, and both of those bookshops have the book. So if you're willing to buy local, there's the Bookery and Gibson's, and if you like the convenience of Amazon bringing this book to you up your driveway in about 3 days, you can go on Amazon. The other books are still there too, which is the book I wrote about leadership with my co-author Dave Cowens called There Are No Do-Overs, and then a book on mindfulness, which I think is needed more than ever. So I think this is a nice segue to our guest, though, Nazzy, if I could.
Absolutely. Let's bring him in right now. Let me remove this and let's bring him in.
So my guest is Matt Morrissey, who is the chief operating officer at Fusion Cell. And one of the things, of course, and particularly in year one of the pandemic, 2020, the order of priority was making sure that our employees were safe. We then, once we knew that to be the case, or we thought we knew that to be the case, then we worked to get dentists up and running, because in New Hampshire, you could not go to the dentist other than for emergencies between March 16th and May 11th. So once we knew our employees were safe and working from home successfully, then we gave grants to our dentists. And once we knew the dentist could operate, we then gave premium relief to our customers, because obviously customers were suffering, their employers. And so we didn't want them to have to pay dental premium. So we then gave premium relief, you know, to our dentist. While that was going on, we brought in Matt to take a look at our procedures at Northeast Delta Dental, just to make sure we were state of the art. And Matt will get into this soon, but definitely provided some tidbits for us and some recommendations, which we've engaged. The other beautiful thing is this is a veteran oriented company. Most people know that once Jack Heath pointed out to me several years ago that veterans, when they go to the VA for dental care, they're generally not being able to be handled, not because of the people at the VA, just because of congressional guidelines. 9 times out of 10, a veteran doesn't get dental care at a VA. So we established a dental program for our veteran community. And then Jack then said, well, by the way, you should check out you know, Fusion sell. So the rest is history. So Matt, with that sort of background, why don't you tell us about the New Hampshire roots and take as much time as you want, New Hampshire roots of Fusion Cell.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Tom. Good to see you again. So probably about 15, 18 years ago, myself and a handful of other folks in the Windham area started a staffing company called Medicus Healthcare Solutions. And we started, you know, three or four of us in the basement of our founder, Joe Matarese's house. And over the next 15 years, we grew that to a 300 plus person organization that the focus primary was placing doctors at hospitals on a contract basis across the country. And we grew into the second largest company in Windham behind the shopping center, I think, and the fourth largest healthcare staffing company in the country. And it was a great ride. We, like I said, we grew it from three or four folks to 350 employees. We built a pretty big corporate headquarters there. And in 2018, private equity came in. It kind of changed the face of the company and kind of moved it to the next chapter. And it's around them that our founder, Joe Matarese, introduced me to Jack Heath. And Jack had already started to go down this road of there's got to be a better way to take the roots and the connections he had in New Hampshire and get some veterans into some of these companies in New Hampshire. So he had already been working with a gentleman named Tony Negron, who was a 26-year Special Forces Air Force veteran. And the two of them were standing up Fusion Cell as a staffing plant to take Tony's inside view of the DOD, Jack's understanding of business and some of the connections he has. The missing piece was anyone who knew anything to do with staffing. And that's where I kind of got brought in. So we stood the company up towards the end of 2019. It was an interesting timing because 3 months into our inception, we got hit by a global pandemic. So the word COVID was not in my business plan for 2020. I didn't even know what it was. But by then we had about five or six veterans, former Air Force recruiters that were working for Fusion Cell across the country. And I remember I always say it was St. Patrick's Day, was a tough day in New England because we lost Tom Brady. All the bars were closed in the Boston area. We all found out that our kids weren't going back to school anytime soon. And that's really when COVID became real for a lot of businesses and a lot of people. So I said to my staff, what we do is we harness military talent and we bring it to companies who pay us a fee to get those veterans to go there. I said, guys, no one's going to pay us money right now. Unemployment was going from 4% to 18% in about 4 weeks. What else does the military do that might be uniquely positioned to help companies right now? And unequivocally, their answer was emergency management. And I said, well, what's that? And they explained how every base, every branch has always a viral outbreak and a pandemic operation plan. And they're not just plans, they're real exercises that they've used against Ebola and SARS and H1N1 and all of these other outbreaks that we've already had. And these folks lead the efforts both here and overseas. So as a staffing company, we spent the next 4 weeks assembling a team of these military public health officers. Their backgrounds were in epidemiology, industrial hygiene, pharmaceutical sciences, biostats. So we brought this team together. And we started going out to businesses, a lot of them right here in New Hampshire, to say, do you want to get your employees back? Do you want confidence to have your staff come back, to have even customers come back to your building? And the answer was, well, yeah, we would. And we started to sit down with these companies. We developed a methodology on the top mitigation strategies, tried and tested on the battlefields for decades by the military, that applied to kind of the COVID situation, the COVID scenario, things like air quality, things like density of your office, your sanitation procedures, even the way you move around certain buildings, your exclusion controls, keeping sick people out of the building, right? This isn't new for the military. So Delta being an example.
So it made sense because you already had that experience, like you said, from SARS and whatever,
yeah.
And you were leveraging it. I'm just curious, we have a little bit of time before the commercial break. When you, and just in a general way, mm-hmm. do you think New Hampshire employers were generally prepared, or was there a huge learning curve, you think?
Huge learning curve, for sure. And, you know, to be honest, Tom, if you think about it, you don't know what to believe, right? With what's coming over the screen from Fox on this side, CNN over here, people didn't know what to believe. And it was such a fast-changing disease. So they didn't know what to believe. They didn't know what they were doing is they were taking some of their best and brightest in their company and putting them on the COVID task force. Well, yeah, smart people will learn, but then that's at the expense of their other job. So what we found is we could come in and play the place of that COVID task force. And the smart companies are the ones that were quick to say, we're not the experts and we don't really want to become the experts. So let's bring you guys in to augment the team that we have. And they all had capable teams to execute, but they needed to know what to execute on.
So even though they might have had a pandemic committee, as we do, that you would actually be the focus experts.
Right.
And then they were, like you said, they're smart. And you know, if they needed to do some remediation, they would go ahead and implement based on your recommendation. In general, if just take ABC company, like, Would it take you about a week to kind of get the lay of the land and then come up with the recommendations maybe 2 weeks later, something like that?
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, it depends on the size and scope. You know, when we work with you guys, for instance, you had a couple buildings, but you had a guy named Joe Casper who knew inside and out, right? So it made it a lot easier because they had a point of contact for us. But it's a lot of it was done remote in the beginning, especially because we couldn't go on site. So it was floor plans. It was interviews with different folks that had institutional knowledge about procedures. If they already had a COVID planning team like you guys did, that already got us to step three, right? We didn't have to figure out who to assemble. We just went to the group that was already assembled.
And that's Nazi, the book.
That's it, the book.
Prepare tell you what, crisis and you're ready.
That's it. Follow the book. We'll come back and we'll talk more next. Northeast Delta Dental Radio on the Pulse of New Hampshire. All right. And we are back. It is Nazzy from the Pulse of New Hampshire, Tom Raffio, the president and CEO and longest running consistent talk show best hair host on the Pulse of New Hampshire, joining us right now with Mr. Matt Morrissey.
Thank you, Nazzy. I always love that introduction. So we were talking about those companies that maybe had a pandemic committee were a little better positioned when FusionCell came in. So as you mentioned, Joe Casper had led our pandemic committee along with our VP of Human Resources and other scientists we had, et cetera. And even with all of the work that we had done, which is in the book, which again, you can get either at the Bookery or at Gibson's or on Amazon, even with that, you did provide us a really good recommendation on the iWave ionization and the HVACs, which we implemented early on in 2021 after the the analysis in 2020. So thank you for that. And I mean, if you think of it, what a beautiful circle, because you had these experts in the military who've been dealing with not necessarily the coronavirus but SARS and things like that, and then apply it. So you could do the learning for the VPs of a company who, like you said, a bunch of smart people on the management team, but who had any experience with the quote unquote coronavirus, which is what we were still calling it, you know, back in, I had a regular, I think back, and I write about this in the book, on March 12th and 13th, I had regular board meetings in person. Mm-hmm. And then, and you know how the St. Patrick's Day thing you referenced, on March 16th, all of a sudden, you couldn't go to the dentist anymore. So in the space of 2 days, we went from a relatively normal board meeting where we actually had dinner at the Marriott in person. It was starting to get a little weird because there weren't a lot of people there and people were starting to wear masks, to the whole sea change. I knew the inkling was coming because on the 11th, of March, the NBA postponed a game on national TV, literally grabbed the guy off the court. And then either right after that or shortly thereafter, they canceled or suspended the season. So I knew something was up.
Yep.
And then bingo.
That's so one of those nights that everybody remembers. It's like the Krista McAuliffe scenario here in New Hampshire. everyone knows where they were the night that that NBA game got canceled and everyone started getting pulled off the, because I think that's when it became so real to everybody.
Yeah. And it was, because obviously the NBA in general is thought of as pretty leading edge, and also makes a lot of money. So if they were sticking their neck out and canceling it, that definitely got my attention. But the ironic thing was, I went to the very last game that the Celtics had until they started having people again this year on March 8th of 2020. And the TD Garden was totally full.
Yep.
No one was wearing masks. People were sharing popcorn and a few days later. So interesting times, but I think you've added so much. So let's get back to the veteran connection. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I was at a statewide chamber meeting, and every sector was represented. And whether it was healthcare, whether it was a factory, whether it was Dunkin' Donuts, every sector head was saying that there's a labor shortage. And in our business, in the dental world, dentists are plenty busy, and thank God people are still confident in going to the dentist, because if you put off dental care, you're going to create medical issues for yourself. So we've done a lot of education that it's safe to go to the dental office, but their shortage is hygienists and dental assistants. So every sector has shortage. So how do you think veterans can help out in this labor market?
Yeah. So Tom, there's actually 8,000 different military occupations across the branches, and about 80% of those directly correlate to civilian jobs. So if you think about it, the labor shortage, it's real. It's under 4% across the country. There's not a job out there that the military doesn't have someone who's trained to do that. And the difference a lot of times with the talent and the labor that comes out of the military is because they were in this DOD institution, there are things like commitment, right? There are things like work ethic, integrity, right? These are laced in through everything they do in their training and every job they have in those 4 years to 25 plus years that they've been in there. So a lot of things that frustrate employers right now with the workforce and the newer workforce that's coming in are almost things you don't have to worry about with the fabric of a veteran as they come into the workplace. You put on top of that the fact that they've had formal training and in the field experience in very specific areas around, for instance, logistics, right? Transportation, those areas. The military moves things very well. They are filled with engineers, right? Whether it's civil, mechanical, electrical, security, that whole area of personal or public protection. But even healthcare, nurses, doctors, right? It's pretty much across the board that the military is going to have folks that have done that within the institution here and abroad in much tougher circumstances, I think, than a lot of people that might do it here. And there are over 200,000 veterans that exit the military every year. So you have this incredible labor pool that's already been trained. It's already been battle tested. It's got a great set of competencies at its core, and it already aligns with the labor market. The problem is the Department of Defense is not real great at paving that road into the civilian world. And the civilian world is not real great at looking at a veteran resume and understanding how the heck it really translates.
But you would think, one, they have the expertise. It's almost like you need a flow chart saying, you know, like a position called XYZ in the military is what company A is looking for as ABC, you know, we need that. And the other thing that you touched on it briefly, but that what I call the softer skills, you know, that 8:30 means 8:30, not 8:35, being able to work in teams, being able to, you know, take direction, you know, when you need to take direction to get a project done on time. The flip side, being able to lead a group, which may include someone that's quote unquote on the org chart higher than you, but you have to use your leadership skills to do a group project. And the military trains you for all that. So to me, you're getting like a ready-made person that one has the skill set that you mentioned, but two, those softer skills that every CEO group that I'm in, that's what everybody's looking for. We can do the additional training on different topics, but that sort of intrinsic thing about working with a team, or, you know, 8:30 means 8:30. I mean, you're getting that ready made for the military, right?
In military folks, people don't recognize this who aren't in it. And I don't have a veteran background myself, but I've surrounded myself at Fusion Cell with veterans, and I'm learning from them every day. I've learned a lot about acronyms because they tend to use those quite a bit, right? But you are training and learning all the time. It's continuous training, continuous learning. Also in the military, what is ingrained in, it's you move up or you're out. So it's all about succession planning and the ability to step up as well. So a lot of companies will hire for skill. The better companies tend to hire for competency, knowing that they can teach the skill. Right. And the military person knows how to be taught. They know how to learn. And it's understood. Like, you can't hire someone who's never looked in a mouth to be a dental hygienist. But there are certain skill sets out there, certain jobs out there where you don't necessarily have to have the skill. You have a good person with a solid foundation, a good North Star compass that comes from a military background. You put some investment and time into that individual, and you're probably going to end up with a better long-term hire.
One of the questions I was going to ask you is just that, you know, like, you know, what type of companies could use veterans? But the answer is every company, because the veterans are all trainable. They have the intrinsic executives with that. So tell us about your vision for your own company, if you, you know, Fusion Cell, and what you see. Obviously, we're still in this pandemic with the Omicron variant. It seems to be going on. So I'm assuming you still have a lot of work, and it's kind of what you did for us, you know, coming into a company. I'm assuming a lot of employers are bringing back a few people anyway in a hybrid mode. So you're probably doing some of that, but 5 years from now, hopefully when this pandemic is behind us, what do you have in mind?
Yeah. So we stayed pretty disciplined around the fact that what we were doing in the COVID world, it did still hit our mission. Our mission is to harness military talent and bring it to the civilian world. And it absolutely hit that part of the mission. Our veteran team of 12 different folks at different points have worked so far in this practice of ours. And they've loved being able to work with civilians and have civilian companies actually listen to their recommendations. They find it very satisfying, and they make some good money doing it. But we never stopped on the staffing side. And what we saw was probably after the election and then after the inauguration, things started to pick up. And then they picked up a lot. And then I've been in staffing for 25 years. The last 2 quarters have been as busy as I've ever seen it in regards to companies coming to us saying, we need help. So 5 years from now, I think that will still be the dominant part of our practice. We will continue to have some of these specialty services, right? It's COVID-19 now. It's going to continue for at least another 2 years, I think. Not hopefully as much as you see it right now, but there'll be other things. And I think that companies are always going to have a better eye towards public health moving forward than they did before. Just like airport security after 9/11 went to here and it never went back. I think this will be more a part of the conversation moving forward.
So I think you're well positioned between that vision and, of course, the veterans angle. And again, in the spirit of transparency, your engineer Mike was very helpful with Joe Casper and the recommendation on that iWave project. So thank you, Matt Morrissey. I think your company has a great future. Obviously, doing really well. A quick shout out, Nazi, to my last week's guest, Dr. Shannon Mills, who. Talked about the Conquered Seal It Coalition. Yep. And he's also, you know, by training, an infection control expert. So I know he's actually listening to this show because there is a relationship. I bet you you've done some work in some dental offices too. So we'll leave it there, Nazi.
Sure. Excellent. Matt, thank you very much. Tom, thank you. Happy holidays to all. And we'll be back next time on the Pulse of New Hampshire.
Thank you, Nazi.